verse 22, it reads to us once again, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Is joy. Last week, I was looking at my cell phone, as many of us do. And I was looking at the Instagram app. Now, I don't know about your phone, and maybe I have not necessarily noticed it before, but now on Instagram, there are videos that pop up. And all the videos that you can look at will pop up at the bottom of your particular screen. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Let me take a look at what's going on. And these are different people. Some are my friends, some are not. They just post these videos. And as I was watching the videos, because you know, Instagram is known for pictures. And you have a chance to do a little chatting with a friend or somebody, but I had never seen this video function on Instagram. And I was sitting here watching it last week, and I saw a couple of short videos on the BET Music Awards. Now, I don't look at the BET Music Awards anymore. See, because I'm not cool like that anymore. I can't recognize the artists, whoever's playing. I can't recognize what they're saying. I don't know the words of what they're saying. I don't know what, they could be cussing me. I don't know what's going on, but I don't listen to it anymore. But this, if you ever seen the BET Music Awards, not only do they concentrate on the artists of today, they always go back and honor somebody from the past. And come to find out, one of the people they had honored that was a part of this particular Instagram clip that somebody had done off TV, as it usually is, they were honoring the great songstress Anita Baker. Now, if you had a chance to take a look at that, you saw Jamie Foxx, the host. He had started out playing on his piano some of the tunes and talking about his own life when he was younger, listening to Anita Baker. And Anita Baker was sitting next to, I guess, her family members, and she was all into what was going on. Apparently, they knew that they were honoring her. And so as he started playing a riff on some of her songs, and all of a sudden, there were some other singers that came that started singing some of Anita Baker's songs. And so Marsha Ambrosius got up first, and she started singing Caught Up in the Rapture. You know that, of Anita Baker. And then after that, Lettucey came, and it followed with Sweet Love. And you could see on the clip that everybody was swaying back and forth, and even those who were old and younger, as they were singing the songs, they knew the words to these songs. But the one that ended up was Yolanda Adams. And Yolanda Adams came at the end, and she sang the song, You Bring Me Joy. Now, some of you know that song that I'm talking about. And as Yolanda Adams was singing that song, she would look at the whole crowd, but sometimes she would look straight at Anita Baker. And you can see Anita Baker was totally overcome. She started standing up at first, but then she just had to sit down because you could just tell that she was full after these people had sung the song, and especially as Yolanda Adams was singing, You Bring Me Joy. And you could see that she was overcome with total joy at this whole event, the whole honor of people singing her songs years later. Total joy. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Just total overcome joy. You bring me joy. But yet, brothers and sisters, what we saw, or at least what I saw in that clip, is a momentary joy. Because as we look at the world today, there's everything out there but joy. As we see what's happening in our nation, as we see what's happening in our communities, as we see what's happening as people here in Raleigh, as we see what's happening within our churches, it seems like you can't find joy anywhere. So how is it that Paul tells the Galatian people that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy when you don't have any joy. And when you're trying to find out what joy is in your particular life. So Paul, as he was speaking here to the Galatian people, was letting them know that one of the fruits is joy. And all throughout the New Testament, the word joy itself is mentioned over 60 some odd times. And most of it is mentioned in Paul's letters. As Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, Paul was talking to these people that you ought to have joy within your life. But we must talk about, just a minute here, the difference between joy and happiness. Because people, there is a difference between joy and happiness. So you ask yourself, Reverend Wade, what is that? Well, I'm about to tell you what the difference is between happiness and joy. If you look at the word happiness, it connotates that you're happy depending upon your circumstances. See, when everything is going all right, you're happy. See, when you have food on your table, you're happy. When you have the opportunity to drive to work and be employed, you're happy. When you happen to have a family or be in a relationship with somebody that you love, you tend to be happy. See, I like to liken it to a football example. You know that I love football. And there's nothing better than at the end of the game being tired or another team that's losing, driving down the field. And it's nothing like throwing a Hail Mary and somebody catches it in the end zone. And if it's your team, then you are happy. But then the next day, you forget about it and go on about your business. You see, it's like when we are in a relationship with somebody and, you know, the relationship is good until some things start happening. You're happy up until that point. We find out, brothers and sisters, for the most part, happiness is dependent upon our circumstances. And when that circumstance does not work to our favor, you're no longer happy. But yet, joy on the opposite end, joy stays with us because joy is related directly to the Holy Spirit coming within our lives. You see, joy sticks around no matter what the circumstance is. And we find out in Paul and other writings of the apostles and prophets and people within the Bible, they talk about no matter what I go through. Through persecutions and hardships and floggings and everything else, I'm still going to stay joyful. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. It's about some of us who are in here today, no matter what you're going through, no matter if you don't have any money, you don't know what the doctor's going to tell you in the diagnosis, you don't know what your family members are going to do, your whole life must be messed up or can be messed up. But you know what? The persons that still can continue to retain their faith, even in the midst of everything that's going on, see, that's past happiness. That's joy. Joy in the midst of everything that's happening within their lives. But you know, it's hard to be joyful today. As we look at everything that's happening in the world, it's hard to be joyful. James Montgomery Boyce, has a book, and it's called Foundations of the Christian Faith. And he says, quote, in his book, "Is the church today joyful? Are Christians? In most churches, if one were to observe them impartially week after week, I wonder if joy would be visible. We think of joy as something that should characterize the church ideally and will doubtlessly characterize it in that day when we are gathered together around the throne of grace to sing God's glory. But here it is often the case that there are sour looks, griping, long faces, and other manifestations of an inner misery." You see, as Christ has come for us, and Christ came with joy, knowing that we are adopted, that we are forgiven sinners, and we're able to go forth into the world, some of us don't act like there's any joy. Some of us come to church worried and burdened down by the things of the world. I know that everybody in here who came to church today, you didn't come in here with no joy. Some of you came here wondering, what time are we going to be over so we can go eat? Some of you came here wondering, I can't stand being here saying that we need to be back at 300 East Davy Street. Some of you have been saying, I got so many things to do on my mind. Somebody is saying, I hate to go back home because I'm going back home to a place that's lonely. Some of us in here who are here don't necessarily exhibit joy. But, of course, I'm not talking about Davy Street. I'm talking about other churches that are out there today. You see, brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about somebody who needs a word walking to a church to a people that have no joy? That's joyless? Have you ever thought about people who walk into a church just wanting to get a word, but yet they talk to somebody, wish them peace, and wonder why that person that they talk to just passed by the other person who's been a longtime member who wouldn't give them any peace? Can you imagine walking into a church where people are worried about the money and what's going to happen next? Can you worry about people who are coming to a church and they find out that the pastor is talking about them? Can you imagine that somebody is coming to a church just to get a word, but the people are worried about more what's in the word, in the world, than it is in the word? It's no wonder why people don't want to come to church or don't want to be associate with the institution of church. Because people who are coming into our doors who don't know us, they're looking for a sense of hope. They're looking for a sense of joy. They're looking for a sense of belonging. And they want to see if our words match our deeds. And if our words don't match our deeds, then we don't have any joy behind understanding that Christ has created us and made us, people are not going to come to your church. We are people of joy. For all throughout the biblical record, it tells that people were joyful in all things. And see, even the world that we live in is not exactly joyful. The world that we live in, let's face it, is a dog-eat-dog world. That is survival of the fittest. Oh, yes, and there are some actions that we see that people are doing great things for other people. But how often do we hear that? How often, brothers and sisters, do we exhibit joy within our own lives, but what keeps us down is not what we know about Christ, but what keeps us down is all the other circumstances that steals our joy. See, it was always told to us, and you know the saying, you can't let the world get you down because don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody take your happiness from you. Don't anybody let you know that no matter what's happening to you, that Christ cannot solve things. Brothers and sisters, we find out that even in Romans 14, 17, when Paul is talking to the Roman people, he's telling them, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, it calls for us that we have to recover that joy. Believe it or not, it's not about that mortgage payment you're having a hard time paying off. It's not about the relationship that you have with a loved one at home that it's not going well right now. It's not about wondering if you're going to have a job tomorrow. It's about the presence of Christ that keeps us steady in all situations. It's about us, brothers and sisters, knowing today that we still can live out joy no matter what's going on within our lives today. For yet, the text tells us that in order for us to live out joy, we have to have our lives focused on Christ. See, you can't have any joy focusing on the things of the world. See, because the things of the world are going to let you down. See, your pants or your dress is going to get smaller someday. Your car is going to break down. Your money is going to run out in the bank account. Your food is going to dry up. But you understand, no matter what you have, for Christ is going to last. It is only what we do for Christ that gives us joy. And that joy will radiate within us. And may we share that joy with somebody else. And see, Paul was calling on the Galatian people to do just that. For yet, as I had the opportunity to tell you about Galatians, the people in Galatia were being subjugated by Jewish people who were coming in, letting them know, in order for you to follow Christ, you have to follow this ritual and that ritual. But Paul was letting them know that in Christ you are free, that you no longer have to do that. We don't have any joy because we let other people keep us down and tell us what needs to be done. And brothers and sisters, we can't focus on the small stuff. We're majoring in the minor, some of us. Are we not? We're letting the small things of the world keep us down. We're letting people We're letting people say some things to us, and we worry about that all day long. I can't believe they said that to me. You go home thinking about it. You wake up the next day thinking about it. We're talking about stuff we're having way, way back in the day. Things I can't remember. Things that you don't remember unless it comes up in your mind all over again. We're letting things stay with us. And you know it's like a cancer. If you don't treat some things, it'll start to eat you up. And we're letting the small things, we're letting the molehills become into a mountain. That's what's happening within our lives, brothers and sisters. We have to be able to understand that the small things will happen to us. But yet, don't let the small things steal your joy in life. Don't let the small things cause you to have a different outlook on other people, yourself, and God. Now, I know that's easier said than done. There's no doubt. But if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, how he bled and died for us, how he was falsely accused, how people said one thing and did another thing, and he was still able to keep the charge that God had given him. You see, stuff's going to happen to us, whether we want to or not. If I didn't believe when I was younger, I sure believe it now that I'm older. You see, there are going to be times in which people are going to stab you in the back. There are going to be times in which your boss tells you one thing but turn around and do another thing. There are going to be times in which your loved one will say something that they did not mean, and it's going to hurt you. There will be times in which you're driving down the street and somebody's just going to hit you. I'm talking car, hit you in a car. There are going to be times in which it seems like you're going to be singled out and nobody else and everybody else around you has not received the same thing as you have. There are going to be times when money is going to run out. There are going to be times in which there are misunderstandings. There are going to be times that we don't understand what in the world is going on. But I can let you know that all of those small things happen to you. There is a God who still loves you. There is still a God who lifts you up. There is a God who still walks with us each and every day through the small and the big. And the other thing that we're called to understand, if we're talking about living out joy within the world for today, you got to remember what God has done for you. Too often we forget, and we don't have any joy because we forget how God has brought us on over. We forget how God has touched us and healed us. We forgot how God allowed us to be where we are today. We forgot how mama and grandmama and granddaddy and the preacher and auntie and cousin, how somebody prayed for you. See, we've forgotten how God has done great things for us. But yet we're comparing ourselves to the Joneses out there in the world for today. See, we let other people steal our joy because we're not remembering what God has done. We're remembering what other people are doing and want to be like. Understand that you can't be like everybody else. God has called you to be a unique person. And see, nobody can steal your joy if you know what God has for you, because what is for you is for you. Amen. Understanding today that God still is doing things. And if we get caught up on other things, no matter why, we don't have any joy today. And yet, brothers and sisters, we're called to give ourselves to God and God's work. See, this is not what we call a cheap grace. God has saved you and God has forgiven you and called you out into a world to continue to tell others about God, not just to sit back. See, you don't have no joy because you ain't doing nothing. And then you get mad at everybody else because they are doing something. And God has given you the same gifts as they have had, and you still doing nothing. And you get jealous of why they are doing what they're doing and why nothing's coming to you. But I'm not talking about David G. Presbyterian Church. I'm talking about other churches here today. You have to give yourselves to God and God's work. Going back to what James Montgomery Boyce says in his book, it says, this is the primary difference between a joyless and a joyful Christian, a defeated and a victorious one, death and resurrection. Joyless Christians may have died and risen with Christ in some abstract sense, so they can, in the same sense, be termed new creatures in Christ. But they have certainly never known it in practice. Joyful Christians have found satisfaction in whatever God gives them and are truly satisfied. They have said no to anything that might keep them from the riches of God's own blessing and presence and have risen to new life. Brothers and sisters, there is joy out there today. Joy in Christ who has claimed us is God own. Joy in what God has done for us. How God has brought us out. There's joy in the Holy Spirit that continues to sustain us. There's joy that even no matter going what I'm going through, persecutions and everything else, that God still loves me. And that is enough to have joy today. You see, it also says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Brothers and sisters, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It is the Holy Spirit that is working within you, helping you to acknowledge that everything that you have, everything that you own, everything that you are is of God. And if we're able to understand that joy, there's nobody can take it away from you. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. Brothers and sisters, today there is joy in knowing that no matter what happens to us, no matter how far I go, no matter how sick I get, no matter how persecuted I am, that there is a God who still loves me and a God who still lifts me up. Have that joy, the incomparable, undeniable joy that God has given us. And if you're able to have that in your life, there is nothing, nothing that will keep you down. Because God has you in the palm of God's hand, and God walks with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.